Hello, grandkids, and welcome to OPA 58. Ken, how are you doing this week?
Well, I'm doing okay, I guess. Didn't sleep very well last night, but I am soldiering through.
Oh.
Like the professional I am.
Well, that's nice of you to warn me right now. So we do have quite the variety of topics. I think I'd just rather go ahead and start with the one that we were just watching two consecutive videos on.
Oh, yes.
Which was Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, and I hadn't realized that, I think it was this week, 30 years ago, Super Mario Brothers was released, and I can just remember, you know, we're old enough to remember, Kevin, obviously.
Yeah.
When that game came out, and like how game-changing, if you will, it definitely seemed at the time.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, because the one video we watched was just the evolution of Super Mario game.
Actually, starting from Donkey Kong.
Starting from Donkey Kong on.
Where he did star as Jumpman. not known as Mario yet, but obviously wearing the accoutrement of Mario, as we've come to know him.
Yes, he did.
So it showed, that video showed every, well, it showed a clip of every video game that featured Mario from 1981. And
it was kind of interesting because it kind of coincided well to watch that before watching the other video, which was the developers of the games talking about their product.
Yes. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and what were their, do you have their names pulled up? That's, I don't have that story.
The one guy is Shigeru Miyamoto. And let's see here. Probably should know both their names. Takashi Tezuka and Shigeru Miyamoto. So Miyamoto was the guy who was kind of talking first. Yeah, he was the one who was in charge of the original Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, I do just, that one was kind of, like, he was talking about how they made the first level really easy on purpose so that everybody could learn the gameplay and how to control everything.
Yeah.
And then they kind of let you loose after that.
Well, and not just that, but it was funny to have him kind of talk their thought process through, like, even the first few feet of the game, when you, like, come across your first little Goomba and your first
turtle
question blocks.
Oh, yeah, the question blocks.
So that you kind of are enticed into interacting with the game. So, I don't know. It was a good good watch.
Yeah, I mean, it was really fascinating to me just to kind of, and it made sense because it did make it, that level was pretty easy, but you got into it very, very, well, yeah, it was easy, but you got into it easy too. Like, I mean, it did its job.
Yeah, I think basically everybody who's ever played that game has gotten through the first level. And then you get to the end and you get to, like, put the flag up the flagpole and there's fireworks maybe. You know, it just kind of draws you in.
Right.
There's also, they talked about it in the video, how the character Mario has, like, it feels like he has a certain weight to him, even though he's, like, a video game. Like, when you're playing, he, like, slides after he lands and, you know, kind of has momentum, I guess, in a way that it was well done. For sure, for what they were, especially when you consider what they were working with, processor-wise and memory-wise, like, they really went for it there.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about how complicated that probably was at the time to get that to come out. And it did give, like, because a lot of games, you'd just jump and you'd stop.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things that you ended up learning to control because you knew you'd slide.
No, I'm thinking like Pitfall, right? Like you land on an alligator's head and you can just like stand there.
Right.
And the alligator's fine with you being there for the most part, I think, right?
Right.
And you don't like have any momentum that carries you forward.
Right, into the lake or anything like that. Yeah, the little water patch in between. I mean, you could fall into it.
Pitfall, of course, was an earlier game for the Atari 2600, which is much cruder graphics. But, yeah, so that, I guess, tells you this was kind of like a Quantum Leap experience when Mario came out, as opposed to Pitfall, the game.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that would be about the best game, really, to compare, I would think, or at least one of the better ones.
Yeah, it's more like an adventure game, that, you know, it feels like they don't make that much, well, maybe they do, I shouldn't say that. I think, like, people are into, like, Elder Scrolls or something like that.
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of fantasy games.
Yeah.
A lot of fantasy gamers out there, for
See,
sure.
I know a little bit about what's going on in the world.
I don't really know anything beyond that, so I'm not really going to pretend.
But, I used to play World of Warcraft, but that got to be way too time-consuming, so, yeah.
Yeah, I've always heard that, so I've never joined.
Yeah, it's probably a good move. I don't think you're going to be kicking yourself later, really. You'll be fine. But, yeah, it's, I don't know.
Oh, and I was, what was the second guy's name? Tanahashi?
It is... Sharp-eared listeners will probably remember, I said Takashi Tezuka.
Tezuka.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, it was just kind of funny how both guys are like, this is the project I remember most, and this is the project I remember most, because it's like, I was in charge of all this shit for this project, so I remember it the most.
Yes, yes. Because the second guy, it turned out, was in charge of Super Mario 3, which to me might be my favorite Mario game. It's up there, because it's a really good one.
Yeah, like, to me, I think I remember that most because much past that, I kind of fell off a little bit on the video gaming.
Well, you went over
skills.
To the Genesis side of things. I think.
I
after,
did.
After
well,
the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Well, then there
off.
Is that, too.
Yes.
I did go for the NHL 94 on Sega Genesis.
No. By all accounts, quite a good game. I think a lot of people talk about playing that game.
Yeah. I Steve Tanzik and I played that. Like, our neighbors in the dorm hated us because I'd come back at 3 in the morning after getting booted from studio. And he'd still be up doing an art project, and we'd start playing NHL 94 at like 4 in the morning.
Good times. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have no regrets about changing that system.
No, I think you probably did just fine. Because one argument is Nintendo has just basically kept them their own games as the best on the system. I don't know. They seem to be willing to sell out, you know, have other developers just kind of make, I don't know, crappy games, shall we say? But,
oh, okay. Cause I don't really, I still haven't paid attention to games in years at this point, especially even home system. Like, Jeremy giving me his PlayStation after he got a PlayStation 2 was the most recent development.
Oh, so that's quite a ways back there, yeah.
And then I pretty much stopped playing when Kyo always knew when I was playing games, so she'd always bug me when I was trying to play.
Oh, interesting.
So I stopped playing around that time. So it would have been about 11 years ago, I suppose.
So people really probably want to listen to us talk about video games then, since we know so much about it.
Well, but you know what, though? Like, all of the moments that these two developers talked about, though, and I guess that's the one point that I was getting, that I did want to get around to, is that Super Mario 3, to me, is the most memorable, because that was kind of, That was when I was as good as I was as a video game player.
You were at the top of your
I was at the top craft. Of my game.
Yes.
Because I do remember when we finally got that Nintendo Power that showed you all the secret levels.
Oh, that's
I had only missed, like, less than a handful of them. And I was just like, oh, son of a... Like, and I was pissed that I didn't find the ones that I hadn't found.
One of them involved, like, finding a certain block and just, like, crouching down for, like, 3 seconds. And then you drop down behind the, like, the scenery.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember that one, that was one of the warp whistles there, which I thought was pretty tough not, like, just to figure out on your own. Like, why would you be crouching on every
yeah, block? That sounds like one that I would not have figured out, because, like, why, like you said, why would you?
Yeah.
Because there just wasn't anything like that most of the time.
No, yeah. I don't know, I think that they must have, like, put that in there to sell Nintendo Power magazines. And it was, like, a neat thing that there was, like, secret levels that you could find, you know, and that was the same in the original Super Mario Brothers too.
Well, and you got the time, like, it wasn't like you could just, like, completely Hulk out right away, like video games now. Like, you did have to wait for that Nintendo Power to come out to
yes
be completely sure. Like, you could play, but we weren't jumping this on the internet.
This was pre-internet, people.
So, yes, you know, I mean, you really did have to look forward to that to know what the cheats were.
Yes, now you could just download your game and the cheats.
Yeah, at, like, the same time. All at the same time.
So things are a little different, but yeah. This was, I would say, definitely a game changer. I can remember thinking to myself that, like, this is as good as video games graphics needs to get. Like, it's just, like, perfect. But obviously, the world did not heed me on that one.
No, in no way did they pay attention to you. And I don't blame them, because despite the fact that I don't play that much, the stuff that they advertise these days looks bonkers.
Yeah, it does look pretty crazy.
I certainly understand if you like to play. Well, actually, yeah, my one buddy used to play a lot. So I did see it when I stopped over to his house.
Yeah, I probably would play if I had more time, but, you know, that time is a thing that keeps slipping into the future, Kevin.
Yes.
Steve Miller Band told us.
Oh, man.
But, you know, there's something that is actually from a galaxy far, far away, long, long ago, Kevin, that is actually available in the here and now, if you can believe it.
Yeah, I feel like when we talked about the Star Wars video, that this needed to be connected, because we said how cool the ball droid was.
Right, I think everybody has noted the ball droid.
Right,
and seen the trailer.
And then when you go, oh, by the way, we have a toy, and it's a ball droid. It's just like, come on, get the fuck out of Dodge.
If this would have been a toy that came out when we were younger, Kevin, it would be like a solid molded plastic ball droid that didn't move and had, like, little wheels on the bottom that made it move around. Am I right?
Yes. If we got lucky, they would have put it on casters so that it could have moved in any direction.
Right. Maybe it's remote controlled, if you're lucky. Then it can, like, go forward, or you can push a button to have it go backwards and turn at the same time. So that's not how this one works, apparently.
No, and this one can even learn from you.
It connects to your smartphone to be controlled, not via a janky remote control that you might find under your tree one morning in the 80s, but it's your smartphone. So you can use that to control it, and I think possibly program it, or at least tell it to do kind of different tasks. At least that was the advertisement that I saw.
Yeah, and you can give it tasks, and it gains a personality of its own. And it's only $150.
I mean, I told that to my friend Adam, and he did seem to think that was expensive. But when you see what it does, it looks pretty awesome. And I am just curious, you know, how do they keep that thing on top of his head? Like, what is that under there? I'm sure somebody knows, but it's just really still cool looking and unique.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you're buying a quality piece of merchandise. That's the one thing I've got to admit. Like, I do understand that the price tag, you know...
It's not like, you know, you're going to get, you know, five of them and throw them away when you're bored with them or something. But,
play
you know.
Crash Derby with them.
Yeah, it's a pretty expensive toy, but it's also seems to be pretty badass. From what I can tell.
Yeah, this little video that we saw, just I was like, oh, come on.
Because I actually had, like, and this is something that everybody would say. In my mind, I imagined, like, a robot that was just a ball that could move around.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And, like, I just never could figure out in my mind, like, how that would even work. And I guess now to see, like... somebody actually figured it out. It's really pretty cool.
Well, and I guess I have a little more faith in, like, the remote controls when we were kids. Like, it always seemed like that shit died with the quickness.
Yes, that's true.
Like, it never lasted more than, like, a couple of months, it seemed. Now, I mean, people have those, what are the helicopters?
Drones?
The drones. And it's just like, well, if you can do that kind of stuff, why isn't something like this possible? And I mean, it just make it like to me, it would be better to invest in than anything remote control when we were children.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would really like one of those too, but
I don't have a spare 150 on me right now, but I might put it on a Christmas list just to see if something happens.
Somebody bites there, yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't hurt.
Yeah, I'll just throw it out there.
You never know.
Yep.
No, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd freak out if I got it, but, you know, I would no way expect
then
it.
Then a couple months down the road, I think you're having a pretty big birthday, so that could be another option there.
Oh. Yeah,
if
maybe.
Things don't turn out right for the Yuletide, you've got another shot in a couple months.
Yeah, I can hold out until then.
So
as long as I don't have to pay for it,
that's right. You can wait, and then you'll find out. Maybe
pawn it off on somebody else.
Maybe it'll turn out to be that it actually is not quality construction, and they end up falling apart, and then you'll have. Gotten some valuable information there.
Yep, yeah. A new story to tell.
Yes.
On Stunt Granny OPA 106.
You will hear it here first. Breaking news. When it happens.
Yes, I'm doing my own minority report.
Oh, wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm reporting my own future crime.
Well, you know, we do live in the future, Kevin, as we said here many times on this show.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess that this little robot thing, to me, example of the future. Like, it does seem a little magical in a way.
Yeah. Like, because, I mean, it does have these other cute pictures of it staring at fish and oranges and different things of that sort. So, it would be interesting to see if it's how much personality it learns from you.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be more advanced than a Furby.
At least Furby level of intelligence, I'm gonna guess.
Right. So that I guess that's another thing. I'm like, okay, like Furby, I remember barbecuing Andy's Furby.
Oh my gosh.
Back on 31 East Lane. Like, I don't think we perpetrated the crime, but I think we were around when the crime occurred.
Wow, yeah, that's rough.
But yeah, those things could get kind of annoying, but that was like a dozen years ago. So the technology jump in between, like, I'm guessing that it's probably better at learning personality stuff than a Furby.
Maybe so. It's, you know, I wouldn't imagine it would be worse. At least they could like build from the Furby and hopefully improve upon it. not have its, you know, of course, the Furby has been extinct since 2010, was it? I think was the last one that they saw in the wild.
Oh, I don't know. Was that one of our stories way back a while ago?
No.
The Furbies? Oh, no, it was the robot dogs that got repaired.
Oh, that's what it was. It was those Sony dogs, right?
The Sony dogs. That's what I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Where you were going, I thought that's where you were going.
Now that you mention it, there was something similar that we actually did talk about on the show. So what I was saying was not as ridiculous as I thought it was. Upon further review, just based on the content of this show, which you think I would be familiar with. Anyway.
Oh, man. It looks really awesome. And I would really consider purchasing one at some juncture. If I had a spare 150, I wouldn't mind sinking it in on this puppy. Like, I really wouldn't. Mm. But it's not going to be one of those things that, I worry about right now. Like, right. If I buy this in a couple of years, I'd still probably have fun.
13-year-olds who have their birthday coming up are going to be very happy, I think. Well, you know, I guess Christmas is coming up, so that's... I wonder if that's a coincidence for them to come out with that toy around this time.
Well, there's that. The movie's coming out, too.
Yeah,
so
that's also time. Well,
got to start rolling out the toys.
Yeah.
So that you can butter everybody up for the movie.
No, I don't know about anybody else, but I saw a ton of toys at, like, Target. There's, like, 33-inch tall, like, some Stormtrooper variant. Some future Stormtrooper-looking thing.
Oh! Yeah, I forgot. One of the lady's friends posed in front of one.
Ah, yes.
Upon her entry to Target.
Yeah, they had a lot of merchandise there over the weekend. So, yeah, it's time, apparently. They've dropped it on us.
Yeah, yep. And
wonder if we'll be seeing another trailer at some point here. Or is that going to be... we're going to wait till maybe Halloween time or something?
Yeah, I would guess that we'd still have a little more time for the next, the longer, or the new trailer.
Yeah.
Version. Because they did keep it pretty, pretty vague last time.
Yes.
giving
hints here and there. A little bit of flavor.
You can probably drop a couple more hints and be satisfied. So yeah, we will definitely bring that to the Stunt Granny audience when we get around to it.
Breaking news as it happens.
Well, and speaking of breaking news,
and speaking of robots, Kevin,
and speaking of robots, well, and this really isn't breaking news considering that this was in mid-August when this article was posted.
Yes, this one has been on the back burner a little bit, but I think it's still interesting enough.
There is an Echo Seeker submarine that can dive to 20,000
feet underneath the surface of the ocean.
And yeah.
Stay down there for up to 3 days and just run around by itself down there. So this is going... I guess this is going to, like, really... allow the exploration of the ocean floor to actually maybe be done, because really don't know, you know, everything hasn't been mapped out for sure yet, you know, I guess.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's the other crazy thing about the whole technology thing. It's just like, how the hell do we still not have anything of the surface of a lot of the ocean? Like, there is some where it's, more of a shelf. It's not as deep.
So get out there.
But some of the deeper areas in between the continents are still, and they're vast areas, are unexplored. Like, that's crazy to me that our technology has gotten that far and we're just finally getting around. But, I mean, that also tells you how hard, I know that I've seen a couple of these older videos where they're just talking about the air pressure that is condensing on
the water pressure down there.
Yeah, the water pressure on the craft. Like, yeah. That's the one thing that they had to figure out, and I mean, that's a pretty crazy feat to figure out, too. So, I mean, it is a bit of an engineering feat to finally get to this point.
It might be, yeah, I guess it, I was going to say it might be a little bit easier because you don't have to worry about keeping people alive in this drone of the ocean floor.
Right.
That can just go by itself for 3 days. Now, I guess when they're down at depth, it's impossible to send radio signals from that far down. So, like, they're out incommunicado potentially for 3 days at a time, and then it'll resurface and be able to transmit and receive signals again. So
yeah, I did forget about that little that little problem.
But
that would be a little worrisome that something happened to it.
It is a kind of, it reminds you a little bit of when they would send, like, they sent their robots to Mars, you know, because it is, like, so far away, you can't even, you know, I mean, it's a lot closer in some ways, but then it's just as far away in other ways because, like, you can't really go down there and see what's going on, you know. It's not like you can just pop down there and be like, hey, oh.
Oh, that's where you are, robot.
Get over here.
Silly robot.
Ugh, you made me come all the way down to the bottom of the ocean. Now I'm really had to help hold my breath for a while to get down here.
Just for this.
Right. So, yeah, it is interesting that it is kind of the final frontier on Earth, in a way, is being... going to be explored by robots.
And I did forget that they mentioned that less than 5% of the ocean...
has been explored.
Has, like, been explored. Like, that is nuts!
Yeah. I think, it does make sense because it's hard to get down there. And so, like, if you're going to do it, you have to probably have a reason to think there's something interesting there.
Yeah, and I do think that, well, some of the areas, I would imagine, are going to be maybe less worrisome than others, just because sometimes it might just be deep. Instead of, like, I guess I'm just imagining, like, a Mariana's Trench kind of situation.
Right.
But most of the floor is, I mean, they have some idea where it is from sonar, at least.
Yeah,
but they just haven't explored it. So, I mean, it is kind of, you know, they can probably set a depth for these things. So it's a little probably less worrisome than we think.
Well, I just hope that they don't find any kaiju when they're down there. that would be some bad news. You know, we might wake up to something like that. That would be trouble.
That would be pretty crazy if our lives ended, like, when we're 80 years old, that some kaiju are coming at, well, actually, any time between now and then, I suppose.
Yeah, it depends how many there are, I guess, and how long it's going to take them to develop the Jaeger technology.
Oh, yeah, because it did take a good, like, decade or so until... they got really crazy. Like, they were hitting the coast a lot, so we wouldn't have that much to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Unless they could start popping up in Lake Erie.
Yeah. But, if they started popping up in Lake Erie, we would have been on, yeah, up Schitt's Creek without a paddle.
They probably would have been noticeable there, but, not like a Loch Ness situation. Because, Loch Ness is funny because, like, it's such a small little lake. There's no way that a big creature could really be alive in there. But the ocean, and when you consider that we have only directly explored, like, 5% of the surface of the ocean floor, it does let your imagination go a little bit wild, I guess, when you think about what might be down there.
Yeah, but most of those things that they end up finding in some of these really, really deep places... are just some crazy ass animals. Yeah. Like they're completely light, like they emanate their own light.
Oh, yeah. Just or to live be able off to see those, like, volcanic vents down there and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, cuz they have explored some places like that. And the stuff down there is just really off the wall. Because the again, like, the water pressure is so great, it's hard for us to get anything down there. And somehow there are creatures living down there. Like, they just have some special adaption, obviously, to
keep their bodies together at that pressure.
Right.
Well, yeah, I don't know. They could just be, like, saturated with water more somehow, and it's not, like, as in, I don't know. But once you're, if you're down there all the time, it's probably a little bit easier. But then again, how did you even get down there in the first place? I don't know.
How long have you been down
there?
This
is the kind of things they're going to find out. Now, the thing that struck me as kind of scary is that this sub was being developed by Boeing, and they basically were putting forth the idea that it could be good for a military to pick up. So, like, the idea of, I don't know, not to say that this was going to happen, but, the, you know, an unmanned Russian sub with a nuclear weapon, you know, under the ocean somewhere is kind of scary. But
well, we could always get the old bomb in the fault line situation going on. I think that would have catastrophe written all over it.
That's interesting. Wow. You're probably right there.
Yeah. If I'm going for a crazy person kind of maneuver and do it near a population front.
See, now we're going to have to edit this part out, Kevin, so that we don't give any people ideas who have access to underwater drone technology and nuclear warheads.
Yes, the 100 or so people that visit our website can be tracked down very easily.
Yeah, this is really a sting operation. we're trying to help out who was that we're working with here? CIA?
Yes, the CIA.
Yeah, they need us to try to. We're like we're the honeypot for
for all the jihadist militants.
Yes, they're going to be the people out there, the drone submarine owning nuclear weapon having people of the world. We do really well with that demographic, so
number one demographic.
Going to catch themselves up here, yeah.
Yep.
I guess I shouldn't have just come out and said that. Now we're kind of ruining our plans a little bit. I was just kidding about all that, people. Man, if only we could edit this, Kevin.
No use editing.
So, yeah, I don't know. But I guess, you know, it hasn't been... It seems like this is the sort of thing that could be weaponized to somewhat scary results, I guess.
Yeah, I would think so. But I would hope that they wouldn't let too many people get their hands on that kind of technology. Yeah. I would hope that they would have not so nefarious plans for it, is what yes. What you would hope. Because, I mean, there is a number of uses for it. I'm sure, for legitimate purposes.
Yeah.
And even just to go do some exploring, hey, maybe you'll find some, maybe there's some treasure down there. Maybe there's some booty down there.
That sounds like it's something worth looking for.
Yep.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe Blackbeard's treasure is there.
I bet you that's what they're going to be looking for first.
Why not?
That's what I would do, yeah.
That's what I would do.
So,
so why not make money instead of war?
Well,
that's what I say, Ken.
Maybe it's easier to make money while you're making war if you're in the military supply business.
That is true. There are various and sundry options here, Kenneth.
Various and sundry, Kevin. You've hit the nail on the head.
yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, I hope that just like everything else, like, it's always fascinating to read these stories. Like, I hope that there are more stories just, well, I mean, the drones have caught up. This thing's hopefully going to catch up. I guess I'm thinking of, like, the far out, like, the Pluto pictures and things of that nature. And, because what was the other satellite that they're getting ready to send up to?
Oh.
The James Webb?
James Webb. I don't know.
Okay, I know that it's been kind of a side part of one of our stories before.
Oh.
But
yeah.
It was a new telescope or something that's going to be going up sometime soon.
You know, I meant to
up recently.
I meant to link another article too, where this was a surface ship that was like autonomous, could be piloted from afar, but it was a icebreaker ship that they were able to get to, like, the, you know, the Arctic and the North Pole. It was able to go to the North Pole and back. So,
gotcha.
I guess that area has been heating up, quote unquote, in more ways than one, because people are anxious to be able to use it for shipping and also, you know, fossil fuels being there.
Right, and I mean, and it's pretty crazy. Well, and it's one of those things that flights are in kind of a parabola of a, because they're not straight lines from A to B because the Earth is curved. So I mean,
it's straight on a curve.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
The and the ships are the same way. Like, there's a lot of stuff up there that's kind of in their way from actually making a more direct route from one point to the other.
Yeah, and I think they said it was a lot quicker from maybe China to, I don't know if it was the U.S. or Europe, but for them to be able to ship, it was a lot easier, I guess, a lot quicker. Saved something like 20 days, I think.
Oh, wow, that's a shit ton.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big deal.
yeah, I had not seen that, but I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, like I said, flights do that on purpose, but really, when you're going with a ship, there are more limiting factors than when you're in the air.
Yeah, so, like, you know, because there's that natural resources up there, the different countries, Canada, well, I guess Russia has been, like, kind of enforcing their territories up there and trying to, like, claim areas that, you know,
or maybe a little questionable.
Advantageous to them, yes. So, it's a...
shock of all shocks.
It's an interesting time, I guess, because it's becoming more accessible with climate change.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I guess that's the other part of the 5%. A lot of it may be unexplorable because of temperature problems.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, both the North and the South Pole take up an awful lot of land mass. So I'd imagine that that would count as unexplored,
right?
Area.
Well, you know, it's there is a bottom of the ocean under the North Pole, so they can be up there looking around for that. So, the South Pole, they've got that continent down there, but you know, maybe we'll be able to have that as farmland here if things keep going on the way. The things have been. Who knows?
We'll see. Would be pretty wild to just.
Things would probably be pretty screwed if it ever came to that. So
we're Mad Maxing everything.
I need to see that movie.
Oh, you do need to see that movie.
Yeah, I
went to the Dollar Theater to see that.
Oh yeah, that's
way good. Worth it.
Okay, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. Well, maybe we could do
Mad
like
Max some... Fury Road.
All right, I can sense a date night coming on with me and my lovely wife.
well, it might be out of the theater now because there was only two times left when the lady and I went.
Oh, bummer. Well, I'll figure some way to see it. I'm sure I can.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some other means of technology.
Yes, I can figure it out.
That you could figure out.
So, I don't know. That's an interesting an idea of these robots going out there now and exploring the last reaches of our planet.
And I'll tell you what, sometimes I think China is the last reaches of our very planet at the current moment.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I guess you could say that. It's supposedly, if you dig a hole in the ground, you can dig to China. At least
yeah.
That was the old saying, and maybe still today people say that.
You'd have to dig in a parabola also.
Yeah, you can't. Well, I think you would have to miss the core and kind of dig.
Yeah,
not really straight through.
Well, and you want to make sure you don't hit the kaiju level.
That's right.
I mean, then you would be really screwed.
You want to skip that if you, at all possible. the interdimensional rift is the area you want to avoid for the most part. But you could dig to China, apparently. At least that's what we were all told as children.
And I'm pretty sure Bugs Bunny did it once or twice.
Oh, right.
I mean, if Bugs Bunny did it, then, I mean, of course we can do it.
That's right. You need no further proof.
Right.
But,
boom.
Speaking of boom.
Truth bomb being dropped.
There's, you know, a lot of people in China, Kevin, and a growing number of drivers, I would say, from what I can tell.
Yes, and they're evidently, it's maybe not a pastime, but it is a criminal activity that is taking place, really, in China, where people are punished less.
Right, so like if there's a traffic accident.
If there's a traffic accident involving a human being.
Somehow an injured person.
An injured person.
Yes.
It is better for the person hitting them to have them end up dead.
So the victim dies. It's better if the victim dies than if they're still alive.
Than if terms they're of, still alive.
In terms of monetary punishment, in terms of restitution and things like that.
Well, yeah, it's mostly the restitution. Because if the person... in question that gets hit by a vehicle stays alive, the driver has to pay for their medical bills for the rest of their life.
Which could be very expensive, especially if it's like someone who's young and is injured. You know, they have the rest of their lives.
Yeah, so...
But this has created a very perverse incentive.
Right. It is actually financially rewarding for you to kill somebody.
Yes, when you hit them. So
when you hit them.
This has created something that I think they were calling two-hit accidents, or it's like a two-hit crash or something like that.
Yeah, there are times where the person hits... The pedestrian.
By accident, we'll say, yeah.
By accident, yeah. We will even assume that it was by accident.
They see that they've injured someone.
And then they hit them again.
With the intent to kill them.
With the intent to kill them.
Like crushing their head or something equally terrible like that.
Right. And it has been caught on videotape. Even at some junctures. Not all of these examples that they provided.
Right, somebody like backing up and hitting someone, then running over them again.
Right, and it was on video.
Yes.
And they were given less of a fine.
Yeah.
Like, they barely got any jail time.
And they did.
And they only paid like...
$10,000, $20,000.
Yeah, like $20,000.
It was something along that line.
Yeah, something in that area. But if you would have left them alive, it would have been like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And I think that the most kind of worst examples were rich people. And in the one example, a woman got out after having killed a two-year-old. I want to say in this example.
Yeah, there was some very young people that had their lives ended by this complete insanity that exists in China.
Yeah, if you want to try to... I mean, I don't know if the article really explains anything, but it kind of, like, gives various examples of this. If you're, like, kind of not believing that this is possible, I guess, read the article and kind of... They go over a lot of the background of it, and apparently it's been going on for quite a while.
Yeah, because the first example is from 2007. So that's kind of a decent chunk of time.
Yeah, 8 years or so.
Yeah.
But it was very tempting, I think, and it seems like this might be like a uniquely Chinese thing. Like I don't know. What do you think if the laws were such here like that, do you think people would act the same way here?
I don't think so.
Because I could
Like
see.
I would, but there's some crazy stuff. But I mean, I still don't think that to me is a different level of crazy than like mass gunman
There's a lot
crazy.
of wackos, though. I mean, I don't know if I'm maybe
Yeah.
disparaging to some wealthy people or some of our wealthy listeners who own underwater drone submarines. It's sometimes the people who are rich are maybe a little bit psycho in order to, be so driven, if that makes. Like the American psycho archetype, if you will.
Well, I don't even think you need that. I
Yeah,
just think that there are just some crazy people out there. I've seen enough crazy driving, just on my own to not be surprised that I haven't been in some worse accident than I have been. Like I mean, I just saw a bunch of stupid shit coming here.
yeah.
It's just like, why? Why?
Getting passed on the right, it's crazy.
Not just things like that, just getting cut off and people trying to outrun me for reasons unknown, even though I'm going over the speed limit.
I usually just let those people go. I more than now just like leave plenty of space between me and the car in front of me. So if someone wants to jump in front of me, they can go right ahead. I'm not gonna hopefully crash into them. But yeah, I'm done with all that, like trying to rush around, and zip through traffic.
Oh.
I'll drive like, 5 or 10 miles over the speed limit, I guess, but only if there's like a clear path,
Yeah, so I mean, there would definitely I would think that because I don't think there is a settlement like this in the US, you know? Like you might pay a lot of money up front for their injuries, but you're not gonna pay for, you
Well,
know,
and you'll probably go to jail. I think it seems like there's more of a sense of corruption in China, like the rich people able to kind of get away with things that other people wouldn't be able to.
well, and some of these people didn't seem that rich, though, at least that they were mentioning.
Or in that, I guess that's true now that I think back, because they said that this is just sort of a cultural thing for whatever reason. People give the benefit of the doubt to the driver in these cases. Like they.
Yeah, like they can go into court and go, "Oh no, I only ran over him once," and there's video of them running over him like
Or
three times.
a common defense was they thought it was like a piece of cardboard or a piece of trash. And I read that and I'm like, what? Why would you back up over a piece, even if you thought it was a piece of cardboard? That doesn't make any sense. I don't know. That seemed like a pretty weak defense to me. And, to have that sort of thing win the
Would you
day.
say that that's cardboard thin, Ken?
Yeah, I would say you could say that, Kevin. That would
Yeah,
be an apt metaphor. Some people would
man.
say that's a little too on the nose. I don't know, but not me. I'm gonna say that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy that stuff like that exists.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I just. You know what? As crazy as the US can get, like I just look at stories like this and I'm like, no, that's more fucked up than what we have going on here.
Okay, well, here would be my perhaps devil's advocate-y point of view here. That the similar thing, the closest thing I would say that I could at least, I saw someone make a comment about this. The closest thing would be the kind of stand your ground laws that we have here with like a in a George Zimmerman case, if you end up killing the person, they're not there to testify. You get kind of the benefit of the doubt in that situation.
Right.
So, like, that's happened at least a few times. And we have similar laws like that in this country.
Right. And I think that there are times where I've also heard it the opposite way, a bit too much for, you know, at least my own personal liking. Like, someone's been in their own house, an intruder came in, they shot the intruder, and they got in trouble for it. It's just like, get the fuck out of Dodge. Like, that should never happen. Like, if someone that you did not allow in your abode came in there and you're in trouble for shooting them, that's just craziness.
Yeah, that seems like...
So, you know, the stand your ground maybe has a little too much lateral movement. But there are other times where there's not enough lateral movement.
Yeah. I did speak... I forget which... I think it was like one of those like Nightline, you know, network kind of crime reenactment shows one time I was watching.
Right.
Where they had an example of this guy who was like a neighbor to this kind of big, unruly family, and they were having parties, and this guy was like ticked off at all the noise. And, like, was, like, a neighborhood watch guy, and he had a gun.
Uh-huh.
And he, like, confronted them at one point, and then, like, was saying, like, oh, I don't feel safe, I don't feel safe. And then he, like, shot the guy.
Oh.
And so it was, he was defending it as, you know, self-defense kind of thing. But he ended up not winning on that one. Because, you know, that was just a little too many witnesses, I think.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where I'm sure the outcome is the appropriate one. It's just because you don't know all of the situations. It's hard to kind of, to me, sometimes to judge the overall picture.
But if the person was dead, that would help your case out.
Well, and if you had video, and again, like, that's the other crazy thing, is that some people that were videotaped in China got away with it. Like, I don't care, however you killed somebody, if it was on videotape here, you would, you know, and you were the guilty party, you would be the guilty party.
Yeah, I guess maybe, unless you're a police officer, but, you know, that's...
Well, there have been a lot of guilty parties recently.
Yeah, the some
in that department.
There've been some, yeah. But it's we're getting a little political here today, Kevin, and we were supposed to keep this. Well, no, I guess was intended in some ways as a downer topic because it is pretty brutal. So.
I guess I still think of this as worse than some of the craziness that happens here.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it still seems a little less civilized to me, just in my humble opinion. I'm sure that there are other viewpoints out there.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's hard to say. To me, I can see the similarities, I guess. But, you know, we don't really know what happened in some of these cases where people are, you know, defending themselves.
Right. Hey, man, maybe you really didn't see them and it was just a one-hitter.
Possible.
Yeah, I mean, it is a possibility that you really did hit somebody, kill them, and really not mean it.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Unless you know each individual case, but I mean, they, again, a lot of the ones that they brought up were ones that were on videotape, so...
Yeah, I guess the idea that it could become, like, a thing that people would kill people when they hit them with their cars, I feel like even though that is a similar, in my mind, to, like, this, you know, the stand your ground laws.
Right.
Or the, you know... It kind of slants the presumption in a way towards the person who
shot
the person. Yeah,
you're right.
So it's like, you know, that's, you know, one thing, but
Yeah, there was not videotape of what happened to George Zimmerman.
Right, yeah.
Like, if there was videotape, there would be a more clear-cut kind of situation to call. So, I mean, again, that was the one thing that this article did stress, was the video evidence on this cultural thing. Like, because in that situation, I guess, here, you're probably rarely going to have videotape evidence of the full interaction.
Well, you know, it seems like video cameras are just becoming more and more common, so we might be able to get there.
Before
we know it.
We might be there now. We'll see.
Yeah. Let us know when we do get there, listeners. And I guess we can talk about our Sippy Time Beer of the Week here, Kevin.
You know, I have been looking forward to this. We had to push off for a couple of weeks.
That's right.
For a couple of reasons.
So this one's been sitting in the fridge there for a week plus, I guess.
Yeah, week plus. It was, I when I finally saw it, I'm like, I had to get it. It's Weyerbacher Blasphemy, which is a Belgian-style quadruple ale aged in whiskey barrels. It was 11.8% alcohol.
Yes, that's on the high end for a beer, for sure.
Yeah, this thing will knock your socks off. You can taste a lot of whiskey.
It reminded me somewhat of the Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale. Is that, am I saying that right?
Yeah, you could say that. To me, the bourbon definitely has a different flavor than the whiskey.
No, agreed. Yeah.
But I think the whiskey works with the quadruples tend to be really sweet. And it does maybe not completely counterbalance, but it does have its definite different, way different notes.
Mm-hmm. No.
From the quad, it does kind of cut down on the sweetness.
It's a similar style, I guess, but it's a different flavor. If that makes sense to the Kentucky Bourbon Ale.
Gotcha.
I would say, but I quite enjoyed it. I gotta say, it did balance out well with the darkness of the beer itself.
Right. So, it came in a nice 22, or 20, no, this was a 20, 25, actually.
25? Wow, that's an odd size.
Yeah. It was a pint and 9 ounces. Oh,
did we say what the name of this was?
Yeah, Weyerbacher Blasphemy.
Okay, there we go. Just in case.
Sippy Time Beer of the Week, and I was kind of looking forward to having this one. I like their products. And I'm kind of coming around a little bit more to the barrel aging things, too. At least some of them. This one, I think, was a good match. Like, the whiskey, still probably not my drink of choice.
Yeah, I've gotten into it more in recent years, but it's not my go-to or anything.
Right. So, I mean, to finally kind of have a whiskey that wasn't too overwhelming to me. But it was definitely there. It was definitely there. It was kind of nice to kind of get a nice little balance. So, yeah, it wasn't too whiskey-y.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, if it's available in your area, check it out. And you like beer.
Yes. So, for at DeFrango 11, at Gozer 33, for at Stunt Granny, have a good night, grandkids.
Have a pleasant week.